However you get your news, I'm guessing that you've noticed that bad news apparently sells. On TV, good news is usually relegated to the feel-good story at the end of the broadcast. What's highlighted in both online headlines and television teasers instead is bad news. The advertisers want to catch our attention and keep us watching by raising our anxiety and fear and the ratings of that particular news show. Every day we get messages that we better pay attention to find out how to protect ourselves from something. In one of our stand-up routines, and here Joseph and I are both doing impressions today. In one of her stand-up routines, comedian Ellen DeGeneres talks about the bad news teasers meant to suck us in. It could be the most deadly thing in the world, and you could be giving it for dinner. We'll tell you what it is tonight at 11. Is it peas? A therapist once pointed out that we are biologically wired to be on the lookout for threats. It's tied to our basic survival instinct. There's an important place for paying attention to bad news that may raise our defenses when needed. When it comes to bad news, telling the truth about the church's past and present failings, paying attention is also important. Some of us have been hurt by or deeply disappointed in the church or some people in the church. We understandably feel disillusioned by what we've come to understand as bad religion. We really, really don't want to pass on this kind of faith to the next generation. Deconstruction of our faith helps us look at and put aside what we don't want to pass on. Many of us have gone through or are now going through this often painful process. We have done and are doing the important and healthy work of naming the experiences that may have formed us in ways that we do not want to pass on. Those messages that have proven to not be good and true. At some point, we're ready to consider, what do we want to pass on? What are the experiences we've had in our communities of faith that have formed us in good ways? Whose example nurtured each of us and has given us strength, courage, and direction over the years? What are those stories? Right away, I think of both my grandmothers. And how do we read the stories of the Bible together now in a way that helps us hear what is good and true? What is the wisdom there that we want to hold on to in trying times like ours? In the comedy sketch I mentioned earlier, Ellen DeGeneres also quips that the news headlines crawling across the bottom of our TV and computer screens might just as well simply say, the world is getting worse, the world is getting worse, the world is getting worse. If those are the majority of messages that we are hearing, no wonder that we are struggling. As the author of Ecclesiastes says, there's a season for everything, a time for tearing down, and a time for building up. I'm wondering if this isn't a time for the latter. In this morning's four verses from Matthew 18, we read the familiar story of the shepherd and the lost sheep. But this particular teaching moment actually begins at the start of the chapter with Jesus answering the disciples' very human question, who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I can easily imagine them barely suppressing their emotions. Me, me, me. In response, he calls a little child over to sit among them, saying, I assure you that if you don't turn your lives around and become like this little child, you will definitely not even enter the kingdom of heaven. Those who humble themselves like this little child will be the greatest. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Just a few verses later, Jesus goes on to warn the disciples, be careful that you don't look down on these little ones. Some translations say, these simple believers. I say to you that their angels in heaven are always looking into the very face of God. It's only then that Jesus goes on to tell the parable of the lost sheep, connecting that story back to his original point at the beginning of the chapter about the valued example of children. Those listening are to adopt the humility of children. The message describes that as returning to square one, starting over with the humility and curiosity of a child. Whoever becomes elemental again, like this child, will rank high, it says. Elemental, as in focusing on what is primary, foundational, essential. I really like that, elemental. Might now be an especially important time to revisit and name the good and essential truths we learned over our lived faith stories and tradition. What if we would shift a bit of our attention to what was foundational for us in ways that we do want to hold on to and we do want to pass on? What would it look like to embrace childlike curiosity, looking back over our lives to trace that golden, true thread of faith that comes through? And when we glimpse it, what if we would gratefully name it, acknowledge those elemental truths to ourselves, each other, and the next generation? The human condition, with its inevitable failings and conflicts, is real. So realistically, we can expect that our journey together as a faith community will necessarily include a healthy rhythm of deconstruction and reconstruction as we look at the stories that formed and continue to form us. I think of this as a kind of holy sifting, something every generation is called to do. I see many of you already doing that, and it really gives me hope. A recent example is the adult Christian ed class that looked at Meredith Miller's book, Woven, Nurturing a Faith Your Kid Doesn't Have to Heal From. Right? Most of those in the class were parents, but I was also glad to learn about this book myself, and I want to read it thinking of my own grandchildren and all the children and youth I connect with. That familiar passage from Paul's letter to the Philippians comes to mind. If anything is excellent, and if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things. All that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise, practice these things. Whatever you learned, received, heard, or saw, the God of peace will be with you. To everything there is a season, a time to tear down, and a time to build up. In order to be faithful Jesus followers, it's clear that we'll always need each other to help discern how and when to do both. In the trying times we live in, I'm left wondering if now might be a good season to do some building up. I think we need it, or at least I do. And I think the next generation really needs it too. As we read that little free library of books that we call the Bible, as we talk together about the truths we find in those stories, as we reflect on our own life and faith stories, we're invited to do so with the humility and the wonder of a child, remembering, practicing, and passing on whatsoever is true, holy, just, pure, lovely, and worthy of praise. And in our deconstruction and in our reconstruction, the peace of God is with us.